Praise Him, rejoice when the sun goes down. must shout for it. If you want joy, you must shout for it. If you want joy, you must shout for it. The joy.
The joy of the Lord is Catherine?
Appreciate him for the many blessings that we've received being here this morning. It was a wonderful service. The Bible studies have been rich, so rich, going over Hebrews, getting a better vision of what Christ really meant. And I also wanted to just get up and say how much I want to express my appreciation, my thanks to God for the blessings that He's bestowed on me. Singing those songs, you know, going through them in my mind. First off, going back to when Brother Linger did change that about thank Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime, and rejoice when the sun goes down. And I really tried to put that into practice as far as in the morning, even with the kids, you know, talking to them a little bit about Thanksgiving, praying in the morning to Him, and just thanking Him for being alive, thanking Him for having one more day. You know, You gave me one more opportunity, Lord, to see if I can grow in the maturity and the wisdom of You. And I want to remember that. I don't want to ever take that for granted. That's a major blessing right there, just having that opportunity. I may that day fail miserably. I may be a horrible example of what God really wants, but that next day, I can dust myself off and say, okay, Lord, You gave me another day, another opportunity to lift You up, to get one more step closer to You. You know, I'm not going to stay down. I'm getting up, or I'm up. That's the thing. You know, I've got to be moving forward in that standpoint. I've got to continually press. We've been taught all, you know, as far as from the time I can remember about it's a pressing way. You know, whenever you're talking about striving, pressing, moving forward, there's resistance, you know, whether it be a natural force, whether it be, you know, the spiritual forces in my own mind, you know, the negative thinking. I'm ever trying to press forward and say, you know what, for whatever reason, I'll just speak about myself. I can wake up in just a foul mood, you know. I can just have that, you know, you don't feel just right in the morning, and it's just like, you know what, if I had a cat right now, I'd kick it. You know, just because it was in my way. But I've been catching myself. If I wake up in that kind of attitude, I'm like, no, that's the wrong attitude. So I go into that mirror and say, no, not today, devil. Get thee behind me, because today I'm lifting up the name of the Lord. I want to praise Him. I want to thank Him because I woke up again. There's a lot of people that see, that's the thing, I don't take that for granted, that they would love that opportunity to just have one more breath. When you're fighting, you know, I've been in water before, you know, and you don't think about it. When you get underwater, and maybe you're under there a minute, just naturally speaking, your body's like, okay, it's time to go up. It's time for air. You better get some air because I'm needing it right now. And your body starts fighting for that. I've got to get to the top. Well, day to day, you know, I want to appreciate that. And I'm not just trying to minimize as far as saying just that natural oxygen. But I'm trying to say it's that breath of life that we have down inside of us. That precious Holy Ghost that gives me that opportunity to grow one more day, to become more mature in Him. And I was thinking about how God has blessed me. And when I say, you know, I'm not just talking natural blessings. I'm going to get to that in a second. But I was thinking about those peaks and valleys. And I'm going back thinking about 3 years ago where I was at and the valley that I was heading into and the changes that were coming in my life. And sometimes just knowing that all I can do is just lift my hands and say, God, I don't have any answers, but I know You're the answer. I know if I'll just trust in You, if I'll just, I'll go ahead, if I can go ahead and just have that faith of as small as a mustard seed, that You will see me through these trials and tests, because I don't know what I can do except stand, except wait on Him, just trust in Him. And that's those growth opportunities, those times when it is hard. But that's when I do want to thank Him in the morning evermore. I want to praise Him in the noontime and say, hey, praise You, Lord. I'll lift You up today. He is worthy of all praise. And I'm rejoicing when the sun goes down because I've made it through that day. I'm going to bed having an opportunity. That's the one thing I want to always magnify. There is an opportunity. The opportunity. What is that opportunity? What have I seen? What do I know? What has been given to me by God? You know, I have a knowledge of the body of Jesus Christ. Just think about that a second, what you and I have been given. There are millions and billions of people who do not have that vision today. Let that sink in. Billions of people. My job takes me all over the state, now into Texas. And as I'm driving around and I'm going through these different cities, I almost start to cry because I think, God, Lord, there's so many. I know, Lord, you're going to reach out. There's your people are out here, Lord. But I think, bless the Lord, everyone in this building, we have been given that opportunity already. We've been given a precious gift. I don't want to take that for granted. Thank you, Lord. That's enough right there to thank Him for every morning. Now, I don't want to stop there, though. I want to realize, what does that mean? To whom much is given, much is required. And Brother Smith was talking about that a little bit today in Bible study. But I've just been thinking about, putting those things into practice. You know, the practical application of the gospel. You know, in religion so much, it's all about, it's a passive gospel. You know, accept the Lord Jesus, and as you were talking about today, Brother Smith, and, here's your ticket to heaven. But this is a pressing way. It's not about works of the law, but it is about allowing God to work in my flesh, in the scriptures, how it relates twice. One, it said He wants to write it in the fleshly parts of your heart, and another in the mind. The way I look at that, and I know there's a doctrinal points to that, but the way I try to apply that is that in my mind, there's going to be times when things are rough that I need to have that planted truly in, if you want to say, the logical aspect, the thinking about the knowledge, the gifts, the doctrines, what's going to root and ground me into this. And then in the fleshly tables of my heart, the emotional side, because we're not just all knowledge. We're not just all emotion, but it's that total package. And God, I want to have that in the tables of my heart. I want Him to be able to prick my heart. I want to be more sensitive to that spirit, like you were talking in Bible study, Brother Smith. And I'm referring back to that because it's feeding my soul. Whenever I hear these things about, I need to let it have its perfect work in my heart. If I've been given that opportunity, if I have a vision of the body of Christ, then these are precious gifts that are being given to me, but what am I doing with them? I could buy something for one of my children. Maybe they even really want it. And I could wrap it up and look all nice. Be really, and I can wrap very well, thank you, okay? So I could wrap a gift, I could give it to them, but then if they took that gift and they just put it over in the corner, what's it going to do? It's going to sit there and collect dust. Depending upon what it is, if it's something perishable, it's going to perish in that very box, and no one, including them, will ever receive the benefit of it. What do I have to do? I have to open that up. I have to examine it. I have to see, what does it mean to me? And that's what I want to do as far as in my calling. I want to make my calling and election sure. What does it mean to me? I know God has called me to this way. I know that He's called everyone that's in this building. Now, what am I going to do about that calling? When I'm getting a call on the phone, what do you have to do? You have a choice, don't you? And now on these smartphones, you got a lot of choices. Well, I can just click the button and actually send them a text and say, "Hey, I'll call you later." Whether or not you really mean to call them or not, you can still click that option. Or you can go ahead and answer it. Or you can let it go to voicemail. Well, if God is calling today, I want to pick it up and say, "Yes, Lord, here I am. What do you have for me today, Lord? Where can I go? Who can I talk to? How can I get that much closer to you?" But I was thinking about what really got me thinking was, it was on the natural aspects of things. I've got a strange mind when it comes to, some of it, maybe I'll throw it off on my Hispanic heritage, superstition about, the Lord's blessing me a little right now. I'm getting, there's some things going on. I don't want to say it too loud because, something might happen. But I don't want to have that because what I can do, if I'm hiding, what that is I'm hiding that candle. I'm putting it under a bushel. You know what? I praise God. The Lord has blessed my wife and I with a new home. I want to lift that up. It's not about the home, but it's God has blessed me here today. He has given us something that we've been working for, and He's blessed us with that. And I want to appreciate that. I want to lift Him up. It's not anything. If I have a good job, how do I have it? Because of God. If I'm able to go there and perform well, guess what? Why is it? Because of God. If we were able to find the home that we felt worked for our family, why? Because of God. He is worthy of all praise. In everything, give thanks to the Father. I want to lift Him up. I want to say, Lord, hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate that. And whenever there's meetings and when there's opportunities, we've already committed to. You know, I want to have the children of God in my home. That's going to be another blessing to me, to be able to host God's people, to be able to have just family, my family here, to come over, for us to fellowship together. I want to look at those things and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that, God. Those are blessings. You know, I'm just wanting to put those things into practice. I don't want to come here and I don't want to have my ears stopped up, or I don't want to have scales on my eyes. When the message is coming over the pulpit, I want to have my ears open. Okay, Lord, what are you saying here today? If someone gets up and testifies, what am I going to get out of that testimony? If someone sings a song, what's the message in that song? I want to know, because this is, you know, I was talking to, I'm trying to think who I was talking to. I was talking to someone about the difference in, sometimes in the religious world, the going to church is more or less almost like an activity, okay? So it's something that they do. And I'm not saying that there are not our brothers and sisters out there who are going with a diligent heart, but as a whole, as an organization, it's another activity to do. You know, I've got the kids to go to a soccer game. We're going to go to church. It's something to just, it's another thing. It's a social gathering. But here at this church, we understand that there's a work to do. When we're coming here, there's a work to be done. Number one, right here. I have to present myself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable God, which is what? Our reasonable service. But if I don't walk through those doors, am I presenting myself as a living sacrifice? If I get the attitude where I'm at the couch and say, well, you know what? I can have a relationship with God here sitting on the couch watching, you know, on Super Bowl Sunday. I have just as good of a relationship with him. But what I'm doing right there is I'm robbing myself and I'm robbing my brothers and sisters. It may not be that I have any great gift within me, but you know the other thing? I don't want to discount what God has done for me and how maybe that day, if I can just be the willing vessel, maybe that I just go up and pray with somebody. Or maybe I get up enough nerve again to go behind the piano and sing. Or whatever would occur, there's an active work being done here. And when any one of us are not here, it's noticed. Why? Because, let me ask you a question. I can tell you this. If I went home today and looked at my house and a full brick was missing, you better believe I'd notice that. I'd say, hey, something's not right here. There's a brick missing. That's important to me. Because if you have that brick missing, water can get in there, any number of things. Pests can get in there, and next thing you know, it spoils the house. Well, I don't want to be one of those stones that are not in the house. I want to be a lively stone that's performing my part in the house of God. So I wanted to get up here today. I didn't have a lot to say, but I wanted to lift my hands today, and I want to say, yes, I want to praise Him. You know, rejoice when the sun goes down. And I have always loved that more fun song. We sang it in school years ago. You know, if you want joy, clap for it. If you want joy, sing for it. What does the Bible say? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We can praise Him today. We can lift His name up. If you want joy, laugh for it. Laugh for it. Laugh, you know, in just the happiness of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have the precious Holy Ghost, the very gift of God, what Christ came and died for to reconcile us back to God is living in my very body. And all of you that have the Holy Ghost, we have that commonality that brings us closer together. So when there's two or three of us gathered together, there's more of God. And don't you want more of Him? Don't you want your cup overflowing today to fill that wonderful Spirit? So when we hear that wonderful teaching coming across the pulpit, it can take root. And I won't let the birds, I won't let the cares of life, I won't let those different things come and pluck it out, because it will be in good ground. It'll take root and it'll bring forth fruit that God is asking for. So I just wanted to get up and I wanted to publicly say thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing my family. And not just in that house, but like I said, I was thinking about, I've been blessed with a wonderful wife. A wife that supports me. She's there whenever I have questions. I'm able to support her. We're able to have that relationship that I've yearned for. And I want to thank God for that. I want to praise Him. That's an answer to a prayer. I want to lift Him up. God answers prayers. He cares about our needs. He knows what they are. And I can go to Him and say, Father, I need You. And I may have to, Brother Daniels, hear sometimes that answer of wait. And I may not like to wait. I may be the most impatient person here. But if I'll just trust in Him, if I'll just put my faith in Him and say, Lord, I wouldn't have it any other way. Can we not trust Him? Can we not think, you know what? Truly, if God is making all your decisions, if you're, you know, we say in the will of God, but think about that. If God is making all the decisions, are they going to be the wrong ones? No. So if they're the right decisions, if they're the right direction to go, isn't that going to benefit us? But boy, that's hard to put into action, isn't it? But that's why little by little, day by day, if I just keep coming in here and submitting myself to Him, submitting myself to the ministry, and allowing Him to have His work in me, you know, I want to be one of those white hairs. I want to be one of those that when the time comes, as the church is, here's the thing, it's being restored each and every day. We're not going backwards, okay? If I'm not here, guess what? The church is still being restored. Every service that goes by, every day that goes by, is one more day closer to that day. So don't you want to be a part of that? Isn't that exciting today? Hey, the bridegroom's coming. The bridegroom is coming. Shouldn't we be making ourselves ready today? God, help me, Lord, to submit to that and to know, Lord, I want to be here. When the doors are open, woo, I want to be here. When service is going on, I want to be here. When it's time to run around the church, I want to be here. I want to be here. I want to lift His name up. I want to say, God, what do You want for me, Lord? What do You want, Lord? What can I do here today? How can I lift You up, Lord? How can I magnify You? How can I help my brothers? Because it's, you know, it'll come to a point when there's less of me and more of Him, then I'm able to be more effective in others' lives. Because it's no longer me, but Christ that's in me. And I'm able to be effective in my calling. Whether it be just to hold the door, you know, I try to do this. And I'll get back to this again. When I see my brothers and sisters come in that door, let me tell you how much of a strength it is. Because I know we're on the same road together. Don't it make you happy when you see someone you know that has a like mind and you're able to talk to them? Because when you're in the world and you're mingling with different people, you know, I can't even talk to them about this. I've got gold in my hands and they don't even realize it. And if I try to give it to them, they'll think it's filthy rags. But when we come together in this place, we have a common vision in mind. We know what God is doing in the earth. And we're a part of that today, saints. We're a part of the precious body of Christ. And I appreciate God today.
Feel like I have a charge to glorify Him. Last Monday, I had an appointment with my doctor, and the final appointment. And I saw her, and she sent in another doctor, and she sent in another doctor, and she sent in a trainer. He was in training, and he asked me a lot of questions, and I answered them for him. And then finally, she came in, and she started that south and went north, and she came back, and I was thinking, get to the point, I'm waiting. And then she finally told me, she said, "You're in remission." Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. It's been a long 7-8 months. But the Lord has brought me through it. And I remember going through one day. I don't remember what month it was. But he gave me the scripture. I believe that he gave me this scripture. And it says, and thou shalt glorify. Wait a minute. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And I caught a hold of that scripture, and it's been carrying me through this time. And when I was talking to her, she told me, she said, would you like to do a seed of hope? And I looked at her strange. She said, do you know what a seed of hope is? I said, no, I don't. And she said, that's something that we do here. And she said, we'll give you 2 stones, and you can go to the fountain and throw one in for hope for those that's got cancer, the kind that you have had, and or whatever kind that they have, that would give them hope that they can make it through too. So I said, yes, I'll do that. I'll do that. So she said, well, go downstairs to the first floor and just tell the lady there at the information desk that you want to do a seed of hope. So I said, okay. I went downstairs. It wasn't, and the one nurse back there, a doctor back there, she said, wait, I'm going to go down with you. And I said, okay. So, but I didn't know what to expect when I went down. So I told the lady at the information desk that I wanted to do a seed of hope. And everybody that was sitting at the desk just went up in a roar, up in a roar. And then she got on the intercom. She said, we have a patient that wants to do a seed of hope. And so we went on around. And she was telling me what was going to happen. And she said, well, somebody will probably come down and go over with you to the fountain and watch you throw in the stone. They gave me 2 stones. I have the other one. And I said, okay. And when I got around there to the fountain, here come doctors and nurses coming from everywhere. And I thought, Lord, they're coming for me. I was the only patient, and they were coming to see me throw in my seed of hope. So I got around at the fountain, and they took my pictures. You would have thought I was a celebrity. They were crying, and I was crying. Now, these are doctors, doctors and nurses. And when I threw in that stone, one lady came up to me. She said, this is the first time we've had, this is the lady that was over it. And she's been over it for 11 years. She said, this is the first time we've had this many people come down for one patient. And I thought that, Lord, that's just like you, to show me favor, you know, and he shows his children favor. Those doctors, they dropped what patients they were working with. They dropped them to come down and see me throw this stone at me. And she goes, I don't know him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And one by one, they came and hugged me. And these people, they've been so nice. So nice. All of the doctors, all of the nurses, even the patients. And those that are going through what I was going through. And those that were going through different cancer. But they were all, you know, they were so nice. They could feel for you, and I felt for them because I knew what they were experiencing because I was going through the same thing. Oh, but the hope. The hope that the Lord has given me. I was listening to Brother Tally this morning, and you know, those were my thoughts exactly. I said, Lord, those are my sentiments exactly. I want to know exactly why I'm here. You know, what's my part? And then Brother Smith got up and explained to us our part. You know, that's been my fear, that I'm going to miss a link, that I'm going to miss something when I'm not here. And that might be the link. I don't know how you get the oil. I don't know if you get it a drop at a time or how you get your vessel filled. But I don't want to miss that drop of oil or that pint of oil or whatever it is I'm supposed to get while I'm here. So that's why I feel like I need to be here when the doors are open, that I can get my cup filled, my jug filled, or my container filled when it's turned up. Oh, God, and I don't want to ever fail to turn up my cup, to open up my heart. Oh, God, oh, God, because I know somebody is going to make it. So why can't I? Oh, God, he's going to have a people. He's going to have a people. And it's to whosoever will. Oh, God, I believe that he wants us to make it. He's given us this opportunity, and I tell him, Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful I have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a mind that could understand. I was reading in Ecclesiastes, Brother Philip Fisher, and it was saying that when prosperity happens to you, just go ahead and enjoy it. Just go ahead and enjoy it. You're going to have your bad days. They're coming. Enjoy the mountaintop. And I thought, oh, I like that. I read it again. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to enjoy my mountaintop. Because when my valley comes, you know, you think the big sea. What else could happen bigger than the big sea, you know? But whatever it is, I feel like that the Lord is going to take me through whatever. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you know, I can look back through this and I can see mercy all the way from day one. I can see God's mercy on me, because the things that she was telling me that should have happened to me, that I should have experienced, and I didn't. And you know what? I was going through, they told me that I was going to have pain in my bones. Okay, I started feeling that. But then I requested prayer. Whenever it started happening, and I didn't have it anymore. She told me to take B complex. So I just started taking the B complex, which is, you know, I take vitamins anyway. So I just added that to my thing, and I, whether it was that or the Lord touched me through it, I just know my body, my bones didn't pain it anymore. And I thanked the Lord for it. And then she told me that and they've told me that I would have had tingling in my fingers, you know, and I never had tingling in my fingers. My toes, I could feel a little tingling in my toes, but it never got to where that. Well, I told her that I had a little tingling. Well, she said, does it affect you walking? I said, no, not at all, you know, just a little tingling, like your feet are fixing to go to sleep or something like that. That was the type of tingling. But, you know, I can see the Lord, he's been with me through it all. Even in my darkest night, he was there with me. He never, 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 never left me. Oh, God. He's a man of his word. I can trust him. I found out that I can trust him. I can trust him. I love him. And I desire to catch hold of this. That I can strive lawfully and strive right, that my ways will get right, more right each day, that I can attain to this righteousness that we're supposed to have. And you know, I think wealth, the Lord doesn't care how much money you have. What he cares about, how much money has you. And I thought, Lord, I don't want money to have me, but I want to have money. And I am tight. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to be too tight for my own good, that the Lord take away what I have, you know. He can do that too, and I know that. But I love this way. I love this life. I didn't know where I was when I got here. What makes it so strange? I didn't see where I was when I came in. I didn't see a thing. But you know, I felt something. Isn't that something, how that when you feel something, that's yours? Nobody can tell you that you didn't feel that, and you know you did. And I thought, oh, I like that. So I kept coming back. Kept coming back, and Brother Tucker said, keep coming, keep coming. And so when Brother and Sister Tally wouldn't be there, I'd still come, and they said, well, she's here, and Brother and Sister Tally's not here. Well, I was becoming a part because I liked what I heard, you know, and I liked what the destination that they were giving me that I can attain to, and I thought, well, I think I want that. I want that. I think I love the Lord enough to make a step like that, you know, to take the next step. Oh, but when those fiery trials, well, I call them fiery trials back there then, I didn't know what a fiery trial was. But now that I've walked a little, now that I've made some steps with the Lord and he has been real to me, he's shown himself to me. He's shown up and he's shown out. What a God! Yeah. Woo! Woo! There's none like him. None like him. Now that I know that Jesus is my Father, God is my grandfather. Oh, God. I thank him. I praise him. I praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I just want to confirm. I want to confirm what Sister Inez and Brother Phil Fisher said. That God intends for us to enjoy the good things that He provides. Just last night, on our way home, I was able to take a day off, and we went to Birmingham, Alabama, and the Lord made a way for me to get basically some VIP passes to a motorcycle race in a museum, and it was beyond, it was totally beyond my expectation. Catered food and exclusive access and for all my family, and it just blew me away. And it seemed like every turn there was another pleasant surprise and something we just didn't expect. And we got to go to church Friday night with Brother Sharber there in Springville, and we had a wonderful service there. He was all excited about the camp meeting, Brother Tally. And Glass may remember this, but I think he said he hadn't felt the Spirit of God like that in many, 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 many years. And he just kept stressing how wonderful the campground was and just how much he enjoyed it and how great it was for him to have been there, and which was just exciting. But anyway, on my way home, on our way home last night, we decided to come on in late last night. I told Gladys, I said, you know, Brother Smith has told us that when we're on the mountaintop, when something good has happened in our life, that we just need to go ahead and enjoy it. I told her that last night on the way home. And then to come into this service tonight, hear Brother Phil say that, and Sister Inez Watson, say that. I just want to confirm that. The Bible says let everything be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so here we are tonight. I'm confirming that God intends for us to enjoy the good things that He provides for us. We're really blessed. We're blessed by the Lord, and He intends for us to enjoy those blessings.
Was this way. Whenever I got a blessing is whenever I was scared to get a blessing because it seemed like something bad would happen the next. So it got to the point where I didn't know if I want to go get a blessing or not. And I can't remember who, you know, that's my mind going again. I don't know if it was Sister Tally or I don't know. One of the sisters here talked to me, pulled me aside because they saw how I was. They could feel that God was touching me, but I didn't want to give in. I was scared. You know, oh, no, if I get too blessed, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow, you know? And so they started talking to me and about God's blessings. And they said, I can't remember exactly the words, but something like, God is preparing you. He's giving you this blessing so you can are able to go through whatever it is. Don't quench the spirit. That is the worst thing you can do. You just give it in. If you feel it, you feel your heart beating and you want to do what you want to do, praise God. You know, He's worthy of your praise. Go on, do it. I mean, right then and there, I just gave a hoot and started going. And, you know, it has happened, though, in the past. But I think it was in my mind that, okay, I was expecting something bad to happen. Not really, really bad, you know, where somebody died or anything like that. It's just something silly. But still, I got over that. I finally did. I don't think that was a Spanish thing, Philip, but or a Mexican thing, but it was just a Linda thing. But anyway, I just want, you know, I also want to praise God and give Him, I don't know if I've ever done this publicly, thank you for my best daughter-in-law. And I prayed. I mean, Philip went through a big trial, and I feel like I went right there with him because I remember there were days he would call me and he'd say, Mom, pray for me. I'm so lonely. And I didn't know what words to give him other than say, honey, you just hang on. I said, God, you're going to be like, He's going to bless you so much with a wonderful person. You're going to be like, oh, my God, Lord, I can't believe you're doing this for me. Well, he said those same words. He said, I can't believe God's blessed me this much. And so I am thankful for Chelsea, and I'm thankful that, you know, I'm going to get to witness another grandchild, and I'm so blessed, and I know a lot of people have, you know, 6, 7 grandkids, but Hannah keeps reminding me, Chelsea's going to have 5 more. She said she's going to have 5 more, and I said, okay, we'll wait. But then Philip keeps reminding her, honey, I work at Waste Management. I don't own it. So, but anyway, I said, hey, y'all, it's up to God. You know, whatever God wants, He's going to provide. So, and I remember telling, using that word provide to Hannah, and she gave me this little scripture that they did in Sunday school about God supplies your needs or provides or something like that. He goes, Nana, hang that up. He goes, that way, whenever you feel down, you can look at that. And I thought, oh my goodness, thank you, Hannah. And I do, I have it right there on my shelf. I don't know if I've ever told Philip or Chelsea. And I was just looking at the kids, how much they're learning and how sensitive. And I want to brag on the twins. You know, I go over there to their house once in a while, and my aunt had just, I remember Teriva reminded me, it was my aunt that had passed away, and I was kind of down. And so I was over there, and I got a call from one of my cousins, and I was trying not to, you know, get down. I don't like to cry or anything in front of kids. But they noticed. They go, Sister Linda, are you sad? And I said, I'm okay, honey. I said, I'll be okay, you know, and I try to fight the tears, you know. And that's all they said. They went over there and grabbed a big old picture of a basket of flowers they painted together. And they gave it to me. And I thought, oh, you. This is for you, Sister Linda. Hope you feel better. And I said, oh, honey. And I hugged them both so tight. And I have it hanging right next to my desk. And I thought, that is so, so sweet. You know, they're so sensitive. They could tell that something was bothering me. But, you know, and Hannah and Elijah are like that. You know, they're very sensitive. And they I learned from them. I learned from these children. And our youth here, they're so wonderful. And I really appreciate them that, you know, leaning toward the Spirit. And Sister Cindy, I thank you for you know, having that, you know, what is it, calling to help youth. I've always, not just youth, I've always wanted to help anybody, you know. If I see the need that's there, you know, I'm going to go in there and get in, even though I might lose my voice. I don't care. I want to work for God. I want to do whatever God wants me to do. I want to be willing, whatever He puts in my way, whoever He wants me to help. And let me tell you, right now, I mean, I love helping people, and y'all need to pray for me that I know where to cut, you know, because sometimes, you know, and I've been told this by my pastor's wife, you know, you have to draw the line sometimes, you know, in certain situations. But anyway, right now I'm trying to help someone, and they have children. So when they have children, you know, I can't say no, and I'll give them my last slice of bread or whatever I have to help them. So I'll need, please put Terry and their children in your prayers. They're without a father right now, and they're really going through it bad. And they live, you know, in our property, right? And so that's why I see them every day. So I just, like I said, I just want to be a vessel, be a servant for God, and just help whoever He puts in my way. I don't want to back away, even though it might be painful or whatever, but I also want to be able to know when to say no or to stop. So it's just like that song, be willing to say yes and all that. Well, I got to be willing to say no. And I don't know that word. I mean, it's hard for me to say no. So I just love all of y'all, and I appreciate the testimonies we've heard tonight. And I was just trying to stay in the channel, but a different way as far as being blessed, you know, enjoy the blessings. Yes, youth, enjoy what you can right now. Get blessed. Let it roll. Because once upon a time, I was in your place, and I didn't yield all the time, but now I wish I had up. And I love to dance. I used to love to dance out in the world. I mean, Sister Smith talked about stuff like that before, and we're a lot alike in different ways. We're both crazy. And I loved to also dance more for God. And now I can't. I can't do. I mean, I can jump around a little bit, but, you know, boy, I mean, I used to cut a rug out there. Tilly can tell you, huh? So, and I used to get Sister Ann Thompson in circles and stuff. But anyway, y'all, you know, exercise your legs. I talked to Natalie all the time about it, and I said, don't have any regrets like I have some. But anyway, I don't want to get off again. But I love each one of y'all, and I thank you for putting up with me. And I love the Lord.
Appreciate the feeling of the service tonight and the things that are being said. I've been feasting on the words. They're so encouraging. I just wanted to give a little testimony. And I appreciate life. And, you know, God did something for my wife and I years ago. And He put something down in our heart when we were going through hard times. You know, sometimes you have to go through hard times to really appreciate the good times, Brother Painter. My wife and I, we've really learned to appreciate the good times. But years ago, and I don't even know when it happened, but looking back, I know it happened. God brought us to the place that we never had a desire to leave the body. And I think that's a wonderful work of God. And I remember Brother Smith's testimony. He was going through some real hard things, and he went to I went to his dad's house to pick up some frozen meat and a whole side of beef. And, I mean, he was really going through it. This is when down we were in Texas. The whole church was. Maybe the whole body, I don't know at the time. But he started singing that song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, No Turning Back, No Turning Back." That always affected me because I feel that same way tonight. I'm not turning back. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. And, you know, sometimes the Lord, he watches to see what you're going to do. And, you know, there was years ago, we were in the body, and I told my wife, I said, there's two things that I fear more than anything else. One of them is open heart surgery, and the other is brain surgery. I said, I never want to go through that. Sister Inez, sometimes we go through the things that we fear the most, and God's right there with us. Thank God for that. And I remember I didn't even know I passed out, but I woke up on the bed, and my wife was on the phone, and I said, "What are you doing?" And she was on the phone with 911. I'd been passed out. I didn't know it at the time, but I found out later. I've done all the studies, and I've talked to people. Most people that pass out, go unconscious from that, Sister Inez, they never wake up. I woke up. Hallelujah. That was God. I woke up. I know how good it feels now to wake up. And even now, Brother Tally, even my worst of days, because I still have some problems. And there's some days that I struggle with things. Even my worst of days are still good, Sister Inez. You know why? I'm still in the body of Christ. I've never lost that vision of the body of Christ. And I've made my goal of going on, staying with the body, and making the bride. This is my family, Sister Cindy. And, you know, you can finally get to the place where I don't know if they could run me off. I don't know if y'all could, because I have planted my, what's that? I've counted the cost. I've made up my mind. I'll go the way of the chosen of the Lord. Why should I worry or fret? My God's never failed me yet. You know, about a month ago, I don't know if some people say, "Well, brother, you just don't have enough faith. You just don't have enough trust in God." I had, not in this church, but I had a minister tell that to me. And I said, "Well, maybe you're right. But I still have something on this side of my head." And I went in a month ago, and I couldn't sleep for days thinking, what are they going to find, you know? And so I went in. And I was able to witness, Sister Inez. I wish they'd have something for me, you know, those seeds of hope. I didn't have anything to throw, but I started talking to people that had the same scars that I did at the hospital. I told them my testimony. This one lady, she was really having a problem. She was an older woman, older than I was. And she said, "You've really encouraged me." So I was going in. And so when after the test, I went into the doctor's office, and you wait there. We were there for a long, long time. And everybody's real somber. Nobody there looked right. They either had a mental problem or they had a physical problem. They'd come in with canes and crutches, and they had arm braces, and they were dragging their feet. And you could tell by the look on their eyes that they were missing something up here. All had the same thing. And so I was really worried, you know. And so I went into the doctor. I'd already been back to work for 8 months, you know, 7 months when I went back in. And we sat there waiting for the doctor. And it wasn't just the doctor, the neurosurgeon. There was about 10 doctors that came in with him. I thought, oh, God, this can't be good with 10 doctors, you know. But he told me, he said, we looked at the CTA, the computed tomography angiogram, and they said, your aneurysm hasn't grown one bit. You know what I did? I let out a holler. Yeah. I let out a little holler, and I went over to him. I didn't know what else to do, so I gave him a knuckle bump. I said, ha, knuckle bump. And everybody there was happy. And he said, you know, your test was so good, I'm not going to make you come back for another year. So I felt really good. So my wife and I, we rejoiced all the way down the hall. But then we opened the door, the reception door where all those people were, and we instantly get somber because they could hear us being joyful in the other room. But when you go out there, you have to look real somber because the people are really struggling. They really are. You probably saw some of them. They really struggle, and you just feel so bad for them. But when we close that door, I let out another little holler. I said, let's go get something to eat and celebrate. You know, God is good. God is good. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but with his people. And I'm so thankful. Most people like me, they end up either not waking up or in a nursing home somewhere. And most of them for sure never can go back to work. But you know, God's been so good to me. I come to Bible studies. I learn that God's my grandpa and Jesus is my father. You know how good it feels to go over and pick up your granddaughters and just hug them and love on them? You know how good that feels? That's because God's good. Because God touched me. And just like God spoke to you, encouraged you, and you knew he was going through that with you, God did the same with me, and that's an experience I will take to my grave. When I hit my low point, my wife, she didn't want me to do it, and the nurse didn't want me to do it, and I said, I've got to get up out of this bed. And I had 3 IVs, and I had wires in my chest, and it took a while just to get me on hook so that I could walk, and I was weak, and before that happened, right before that happened, no, let's see, I'm getting that wrong. I took a walk down the hall, and there's about 20 rooms, about 10 on each side, and mothers and fathers and wives and husbands and parents were standing in the hallway. They were crying, you know, and you'd look in the room as you'd go by, and you could tell people were, when I was there was one person who left. And no one was walking down the hall. And I got really discouraged when I went through there. You know, it's... and then I went and got hooked back up again. And shortly after that, I started feeling funny. And I was standing at the window with my wife. Because she would work. And then she'd come after work and she would stay there with me. Because there's really nothing you can do. There's this little tiny room, and with the nurse looking at you the whole time, you can't do nothing. I don't know how many reruns of Emergency and The Rifleman I watched. I think I saw every one of them. You can't do nothing. But I started feeling really bad standing at the window, and I told my wife, I said, I'm going to lay down. And I laid down, and I started feeling worse, and I couldn't talk. You remember, I couldn't talk. And I thought, in my mind, I thought, I'm dying. I really thought I was dying. I couldn't move and I couldn't talk. And then the nurse came running in. There was a medicine that they were giving me that was artificially inflating my blood pressure, and the pump quit working. And I really thought, in my mind, I thought, this is it. I'm going to die right here. Well, a couple minutes later, I was feeling better. The whole time I was going through that, Sister Inez, you know, sometimes we can't really appreciate the good times unless we go through some real big valleys. And then after my wife left, I became a friend with the head nurse. Her name was Liz. She came in and I told her what I was going through. In fact, when I saw her at the doctor's office, I think I embarrassed her. I gave her a big hug and she gave me a hug back. She was the one, when I was in there, I told her how I was feeling and what I was going through. And we both just grabbed each other and we were hugging and we were crying. And I felt a little bit better, but I didn't know what was going to happen to me. And that night, I wasn't sleeping, but that night, the Lord spoke to me. I don't know if it was in my mind. I don't know to this day. It could have been audible. It could have been my mind. I don't know. But he told me, he said, don't worry, son, I got your back. And I feel like the Lord's had my back since we came to the body of Christ. I think he was just telling me that I know where you are. You know, there's sometimes you say, Lord, you know who I am. Do you remember, you know, I live in 1306 Oak Glen Place in Bryant, Arkansas, 72022. Do you remember that? I don't feel that way anymore. I know he's got our back. I know the Lord is watching us because we're his children. And we may be his grandchildren, but he watches over. So I'm thankful tonight for the body of Christ. I'm thankful that the Lord brought me here. I'm thankful for all you good people. You know, God's building a garner. You know, one of these days, and it ain't going to be long, we're going to be setting out chairs, Brother Stewart, for regular services. We're going to go, my Lord, what are we going to do with all these people? We don't have no more chairs. What are we going to do? You know, the Lord's going to build in the garner, and when in his time, and when he's ready, and when we're ready, this place is going to be flooded with people that's looking for answers, looking for truth, looking for the people of God. We'll say, here we are. Here we are. Come on in. Just sit down and have a chair. So I'm thankful today. I appreciate all the good times, and I'm just thankful for this church. Hallelujah. Thank for all you people. Hallelujah.
Oh, isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for him? Doesn't he thrill you with his blessings every day? Oh, doesn't he watch right over you? Doesn't he love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Oh, isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for him? Doesn't he thrill you with his blessings every day? Oh, doesn't he watch right over you? Doesn't he love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for him? Doesn't he thrill you with his blessings every day? Doesn't he watch right over you? Doesn't he love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Yes, isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for him? Doesn't he thrill you with his blessings every day? Oh, doesn't he watch right over you? Doesn't he love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Watch right over you. Doesn't he love you through and through? Isn't it good to live your life for the Lord? Yes, isn't it good to serve the Lord? Isn't it good to live for him? Doesn't he thrill you with his blessings every day? Doesn't he watch right over you?
Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 right. It's been a good day. Meeting. Yes. It'll be here before you know it. And we probably should schedule a work day next Saturday. I don't know if that's too early for some of you brethren, but I know we're probably going to need a couple work days, so everyone may not be able to make, you know, both of them, but I know we need to, we've got some things we've got to get done for the meeting, so we'll announce it again Wednesday night, but Saturday we'll meet here about 8:30 for we can have some coffee and then get started on some things, and yes. Staying in the church in the room downstairs, so this coming Saturday I'll ask y'all to make sure you check it. Will everybody remember to do that? But since they're here, they could check it after we're gone too, and just check on us, make sure we did the right thing. Thank you, Sister McGowan. All right, pray for those that couldn't be here. Keep Brother and Sister Crow in your prayers, and my mother and Sister Ann Thompson, she's with her dad tonight. He has just got out of ICU into rehab, and Brother Paul had to go out on a call. This is his peak time of the season, so remember them. Also, we've got two air conditioners out and one froze up right now, so we got to get them. I hated to send Sister Ann a text to tell Brother Thompson about that, but anyway, got to get these things up and going for the youth meeting. Let's give him a praise before we go home. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and mercy. Oh Lord, for encouraging words, Lord, and the things that you've shared with us. Oh God, this vision that we have, our fellowship, what we mean to one another. God, this great family of yours that you've made us a part of. We give you praise, Lord. We're appreciative. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Bless your people. Watch over us this week. Lead us and guide us in your will, we pray. Amen. All right. Shake hands and be friendly.